Bring the House Transportation Committee to order. Present Representative Faircloth, Dugan, Corin, and myself. We have two bills, one bill and one resolution, HB 185, sponsored by Representative Coghill. His staff is here. Would you like to come forward and introduce the bill?
Good afternoon. My name is Carol Beecher. I'm working as an intern in Representative John Coghill's office. The bill, HB 185, is a bill that deals with alteration of road service area boundaries to ensure taxpayer fairness. Under existing law, the borough lacks any effective means to alter existing road service area boundaries, even when necessary to ensure taxpayer fairness. Because only those properties within the service area boundaries can be required to contribute to the cost of the service area, the borough's inability to adjust boundaries creates two taxpayer fairness issues that the proposed legislation attempts to resolve. Currently, resolution of both problems depends upon taxpayers' willingness to vote against their own financial interest. Presently, state law permits borough residents living outside a road service area to use road service area roads for their sole or legally required access. These residents derive a direct benefit equal to residents within the service area, yet they can refuse to contribute to the cost of construction or maintenance of these roads by voting down any annexation attempt. This problem usually arises because of subsequent development near a service area which utilizes existing service area roads for access. While the borough demands, through its subdivision laws, that the owner subdividers consent to annexation into the service area as part of the subdivision application, state law still requires an election if anyone resides in the area, including the subdivider. These annexation votes typically fail as individuals are reluctant to join a service area where they can instead use these maintained roads for free. The proposed change to state law would fix this problem by allowing a service area to annex property that uses its roads for their sole or legally required access without a separate vote of the property to be annexed. The second problem is the direct opposite. Here people find themselves, either because of the way the original boundaries were drawn or due to subsequent road development, paying into a road service area even though they do not utilize the service area roads for access onto their property. Service areas, however, are often reluctant to vote to remove property from the service area because that effectively raises taxes on the remaining property owners. The proposed change to state law would fix this problem by allowing the Assembly to exercise its judgment to alter by ordinance the service area boundary to exclude that property or properties that do not use service area roads.
Thank you. Any questions for the sponsors? Representative Corin.
I know we had talked about this in my office, but I just wanted to clarify that if there were to be an annex, that the monies that were collected from taxes that would be levied to that property would go strictly to the road that was used and nothing else. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Corin, the money that would be, if they were in a road service area, they would still pay to the borough whatever their property taxes were, and then the portion that is taken for the road service area, for instance, it could be 1.14 mill rates, for example, would be taken out for the road service function, not for schools or whatever. Is that, am I answering your question?
No.
Renee Brooker,
I just want to make sure there's a very clear commensurate relationship between the taxes that are collected and the roads that they're using that currently apparently property owners are not paying for, if I understand this legislation correctly. And I just want to make sure that if they're in fact essentially forcibly annexed, that the taxes that are collected as a result of the annexation goes directly to the roads that supposedly they're being used to access the property.
Yes, and we have Renee. Is Renee online? Renee Brooker?
Okay. Well, we'll have her testify. Can we save that question for Renee? Thank you. Representative Faircloth?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to answer in the affirmative. Road service areas only function to actually maintain the roads in that service area. So there might be an administrative charge through local government if someone else is managing the money, but it goes specific to that road service area.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the only reason that I have even the vaguest knowledge is we do have service areas and road service areas in the district that I represent, as well as this bill came through Community and Regional Affairs already, and so some of the similar questions might have come up.
I just wanted to confirm that, because I know in certain circumstances, when property taxes are paid, that it goes to a variety of uses. When I pay for my property taxes, I mean, that's who, 80% of that money goes into schools, and very little of that goes into the roads that I maintained up in my subdivision. So I just wanted that clarification, and you provided that, Representative Faircloth. Thank you very much.
Any other questions for Ms. Beecher? Thank you. We're going to go online since Kathy's here, unless you have a pressing something going on.
I have 2 o'clock.
Okay. Well, let's have Kathy Wasserman here, who's in person testifying on behalf of the Itasca Municipal League.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the opportunity to comment on House Bill 185. The Alaska Municipal League supports House Bill 185. Our membership in the last year has discussed this issue and has included the following statement in our FY 2007 policy statement. The League supports legislative changes that would enable local governments to regain control and management of its service areas. By regaining this authority, local governments can ensure that service areas are established, operated, and altered in a manner consistent with the constitutional purpose of service areas and the overall public good. As the law now reads, boroughs have no way to address the needs of service area residents when the solution might be alteration of boundaries. Especially in situations of taxpayer fairness, borough hands are tied. If residents of a newly developed area must use service area roads for their only or legally required access, and they live outside the service area, the borough's only option for solving this issue is to hope like heck that these people will positively jump at the chance to increase their taxes. To date, that has not been a popular stance. This bill would allow for annexation of the newly developed property without a separate vote of the property to be annexed. Another problem that has arisen due to boroughs lacking the authority to alter their own service areas is that if a road is no longer used by residents of the service area, either due to new roads, changes of population pattern, and so forth, they will still be required to pay into that road service area. However, again, the current law would require a vote by service area residents to willingly raise taxes on the remaining residents. If that particular unused road area was removed, HB 185 would allow borough assemblies to exercise their own judgment to alter service area boundaries in situations where property should be excluded due to lack of use. Again, our position is that local governments should be allowed to control and manage service areas within their borough boundaries, and to that end, we support House Bill 185. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Wasserman? Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Online out of Fairbanks, Renee Broker with the North Star Borough. Are you online, Renee?
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Renee Broker. I'm the borough attorney for the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I'm speaking today in support of House Bill 185, which both our Road Service Area Committee and our Assembly have unanimously supported. The bill achieved this unanimous support because it gives our borough and other boroughs the abilities to address inequities in the system and restore some basic fairness principles to the service area taxation system. It is, after all, our borough whose name goes on the tax bill that our citizens receive, and so we have an interest in making sure that that tax bill that is sent out by our borough is as fair and equitable as possible. This legislative change provides boroughs a way to ensure that the tax burden that results from the cost of a service provided by a road service area is fairly borne by all property owners who use the roads constructed and maintained by the service area for their sole or legal access to their property. Importantly, however, and this was very important for our service areas to support this bill, the bill still preserves the right of the service area, if you're going to add property, to vote on whether they want that property added to their service area. So it'll ultimately still be the service area's call through a vote to determine whether the increased revenue that they would obtain is worth the increased obligation or the problems that may come. The Assembly is not, where or would not be by this bill, forcing property on service areas. And I thank you for your time today, and that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Renee. Any questions for Renee? Seeing none, Tammy Wilson, you're in Fairbanks.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Tammy. Can you identify yourself and your affiliation, please?
Yeah, my name is Tammy Wilson, and I'm a resident of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. This bill really is kind of personal to me. This last October, we were put into a vote for a road service area. Even though that our section of the road would not be maintained, we were going to have to pay the same amount of taxes and then still maintain our private section because the access of our road was going to be in and out of this public road service area. My concern is that if it would come back up to a vote again this next October, is they might draw the lines in which it would exclude us so that the vote would go through and then be able to use this bill to annex us. When I approached the borough to find out what would happen, I did receive a letter from them saying that since we were a private road, that we could not be annexed into it because that we would not be maintained. My problem with that is in this bill, it does not designate what a public road is and what a private road is. And maybe, you know, definitions to that effect need to be made so it is more clear. And the reason I guess ours is a private road is because we are not up to what Title 17 here says that a road has to be. My other concern is that, you know, you're talking about fairness in a road service area. Right now, you pay based on the taxes on your house. If you really wanted to be fair, everybody would pay the same amount, no matter whether you lived in a $100,000 home or a $300,000 home. And I think that's really a big issue here. But my biggest concern is that you're really taking away the right to vote. I mean, this is adding taxes to your house. And the borough is going to get to make that decision for you instead of the taxpayers getting to do that, giving them a power that they do not currently have. And I just really wish you could look at this a little more closely. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Any questions for Tammy? Representative Fairclough?
Tammy, thank you for testifying.
Thank you.
You testified before Community and Regional Affairs also. Do you, as a family on your current property, pay road taxes into a service area?
No, we don't. We all chip in and we clear our road ourselves.
Do you drive on other roads besides your driveway?
Yes.
But you don't pay for those roads?
Currently, no one does because that was what was going to be a road service that got voted down last year. It will probably go back up to a new vote this next October.
One of the issues in other areas besides Fairbanks are that service areas are only paying for roads inside of service areas, but commuters travel on roads throughout a road network, and they're not really contributing to those costs. And so I do agree with your thought process on the fairness equity, but we are somewhat stymied by all the traffic and understanding which roads you actually use on an everyday basis to charge you a specific figure for. And so at least in the road service areas that I represent, we've had to dual charge, one at a borough level so that we can charge constituents for all the other roads outside their driveways to drive on, and then inside the service area to maintain individual driveways. So I just wanted, the issue's a bit larger than just individual driveways, in that there are other roads that are maintained throughout the system and the network that people drive on. But I do appreciate your point on eliminating a vote.
Well, and the other part that I'd just like to add to that, we were told also that we would be exempt because our driveway came to the private road, and then we would get to the public accessible road. And like you said, that causes a whole other thing. Can you only annex in that property that actually connects to that road service, or can you connect a whole section of property? It's really not clear.
Thank you, Tammy. Stuart Davies in Fairbanks.
Hi, thank you. My name's Stuart Davies. I'm not representing anyone other than myself. I'm just a concerned citizen. I'm a member of the 23-mile road service area. The situation, as I understand it, in this 185, we're just basically changing the language only for those folks who live in a subdivision that cannot access their property parcels any other way than going through an existing road service area, correct?
Yes.
That's my understanding of the bill.
We're just changing language in this bill, right? At least that's my understanding.
That's the sponsors are nodding yes, so I believe that's in the affirmative.
Okay. So basically, this language, this bill is not annexing any property owners whatsoever. That's a separate process, according to my understanding.
Yes, but, I believe that's correct.
Okay.
That's not correct.
So, it's not correct.
That's not correct,
that's what they said.
Okay.
Well, that's not the way I read this bill. I mean, the situation that I'm involved in or familiar with, I live at 5.2 mile Eielson Farm Road, which is in the 23 mile service area. There is a number of parcels, I estimate about 14, possibly more, that use 90% of the service area roads to access their property, and it's the only way they can get in or out, and they are not currently in our service area. So, my understanding is that to get in the service area, both the taxpayer and the service area taxpayers have to vote in the affirmative. This bill would amend the language that would say that those folks outside of the service area would not have an ability to vote one way or the other, because they do access the service area roads to get to their property, but don't pay for any of that access, as I heard in previous testimony. So I see this bill as a way of streamlining the annexation process so that it proceeds in a straightforward manner. This doesn't mean that people automatically living on these parcels within our road service area would be annexed. That's another process in and of itself. That annexation, of course, and some of the first questions they're going to have is, well, are you going to upgrade my road to the level that is currently in the road service area, or in other words, bring it up to the borough standards? And if you're a road service commissioner, you're going to have to say, yes, we're going to bring your road up to a level that is compatible with the existing road service area. Somebody else said that there'd have to be a justification to annex those other folks, you know, in terms of a cost-effective process. But bottom line is, I hope you vote favorably for this amendment and pass this legislation this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davies. Note for the record, Representative Newman, Vice Chair, has joined us. In Fairbanks, we also have Randy Frank and Luke Hopkins. I understand you don't want to testify. Is that correct?
Well, if I'm here to answer any questions, my name is Luke Hopkins. I'm on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. And of course, I support the passage of this bill, so I ask you to support it. But I'll basically answer any questions if there are any.
And is that the same for Mr. Frank?
No. I would like to say a few words here.
Go ahead, Randy Frank. Can you identify yourself and your affiliation, please?
Yes, my name is Randy Frank. I'm on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. I am the chair of the Road Service Area Committee of the Borough Assembly here. And I would just like to stress that the idea for this bill originated in the Service Area Committee and not from me. It was from a group of Road Service Area Commissioners who saw a problem and brought this to our attention and wanted a way to fix it. So it didn't start from the Assembly or from the Mayor. It came from the bottom up, which I think is, in my mind, really, really important. And I also want to stress that if this bill passes, there would still have to be a public process that the Assembly would have to go through for the annexation or getting out of a service area by a certain property, because it would have to come before the Assembly. And the Assembly would have to hear from anybody who wanted to speak for or against this process. So it would still be a public process, and it could be voted down by the Assembly. That's basically what I'm getting at here.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else in Fairbanks that hasn't signed up that would like to testify? Kodiak, Ed Mahoney, are you online?
Service District 1 here in Kodiak. And anyways, we've got some inequities here. We have the circle drawn for the service area number 1. And within that service area, there are state-maintained roads. And borough ordinance has it that those properties that use the state-maintained roads are exempt from paying the taxes to the service area for road maintenance and such. Anyways, we're trying to look into this to see how legal this really is. But in 97, this ordinance came up and it passed, and it's actually in our code book now, Chapter 4.70. Anyways, the thing that I'd like to see is everybody that's in the circle should be paying these taxes. It puts an undue burden on those that that do have to pay that tax. They have to pay more of it. So I have a little bit of a problem where it says in number 4 to exclude a parcel. That's kind of, I guess, where I see some inequities. So anyways, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But I would like to see everybody pay that's in the service area.
Thank you. Can you state your name and your affiliation? We missed the first part of your identification.
Yes, it's Ed Mahoney, and I am chairperson of Service District 1 in Kodiak.
Thank you, Mr. Mahoney. Anybody else in Kodiak there want to testify?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Lori Davey here in Juneau.
Hi. Is this on?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm Lori Davey. I'm representing the South Golden View Limited Road Service Area. Well, actually, we just changed to a rural road service area. I'm testifying in favor of House Bill 185. The South Golden View area in Anchorage has been the recipient of a lot of growth over the last 7 years. In fact, we've accommodated over 50% of the growth for the hillside area. And with that has been an additional burden on our roads, and then a lot of the new developments aren't necessarily annexing into the limited roads or the rural road service area, even though they're predominantly using our roads to access the property. And along with the eventual houses, we're also having to deal with all the devastation from the building, the dump trucks, the excavators, everything that comes in. And the burden is felt by the road service area to maintain that area. And it's been so bad in the last several years that we cannot keep up with maintaining the limited road service area. We've changed to a rural road service area to give us the ability to start improving the roads. We had an 85% response rate for that. I think that this bill helps correct the inequities that we've been experiencing with the unmaintained roads and the new developments that have come up and that aren't necessarily paying for the roads or the service area that they're using. And the roads that are outside of the area that we don't necessarily maintain, there will be times that when we look at the financial feasibility of that, taking on those additional roads may not be feasible in some of the areas, because we would have to bring them up to a level of standard to be able to maintain them. In our road service area this last year, we spent over $80,000 ripping ice from glaciation. So it is true that some areas, even though we maintain them, we will have to choose not to annex them then, just because of the expense associated with it. So I think this does help create an equitable and fair balance for the rural road service areas of Anchorage, and it also allows the voters to determine their level of service and what they want to pay for that.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Davey? Seeing none, anybody else in the audience like to testify on this bill?
For the record, my name is Sandra Wilson. I'm an intern for Representative Carl Gatto, but I'm here testifying on my own behalf. I'm going to be testifying in opposition to this bill. You guys have talked a lot about fairness and how it should be fair, but as Ms. Wilson stated earlier, it's based on what your assessed value is. A person with the highest assessed value home in the road service area could have one car, and somebody with the lowest assessed may have five or six. there's no fairness in that the person with the highest value and least amount of vehicles is paying more to keep the upkeep of the roads than the person with the lowest and is paying, you know, less, and they have more, they're using the roads more. Also talks about how you want to do this so that a road service that comes in behind a subdivision that's already there and they're using their roads can then be annexed in. Well, what happens when you get a road service area that's already established and a subdivision comes in front of them and you're forced to use their roads and now they want to put you into a road service area? It doesn't seem fair. And then you have the other area of if there are two established road service areas, this bill does absolutely nothing. It cannot annex in another road service area that's already established. So you can establish a road service area behind it, put your mill rate at, you know, your rate that they're charging or adding tax to at zero, and you're still using the other road service roads and you're not being charged for them.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Yep.
Anybody else in the audience? Looks like a bunch of staff. We'll close public testimony. Committee discussion. Anything from the committee members? Representative Faircloth?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to let the committee members know that I had contacted the municipality of Anchorage and the president of local road service areas, and there is general support for the bill that's before you. I'd like the sponsor, if they could, to expand on something that we heard on number four inside the current bill. Anchorage, as well as Fairbanks, wordsmithed this document together to make it so that it was as flexible as it could be. I do acknowledge by both individuals who spoke in opposition to it that there is a fairness issue across the board for road service areas and what they do and their annexation. But if we could just expand on why number four is important, that would be helpful for all those that are listening.
Thank you. Can you identify yourself for the record?
My name is Carol Beecher. I work for Representative John Coghill. Through the chair, Representative Faircloth, number four is the portion of this bill that addresses a situation in which you would have a parcel or a subdivision that is attached to a road service area that is not using that road service area for their legally required access or for their direct access to their property. And it would allow that property or that subdivision to petition the assembly to be removed so that they don't have to pay for a service that they are not using. And the reason it is included is so that they don't have to go and get the vote from the other subdivision because they don't usually want to relinquish the properties that are paying into their road service area, even if they're not using it. An example is on the maps that you got in your packet, the Cords Drive Road service area. You see on the Goldstream Road, there are on the side, those two little parcels that are not connected to the, I guess, golden, I can't read it, it's too little, goldenrod or whatever. You see inside the subdivision, those two little ones on the far right. They aren't even attached to that road service, but somehow they're in their plat, they are part of that subdivision and they would be required to pay the road service fee. This bill would allow them, because they're using Goldstream Road, to petition to be taken out of the road service area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I would just, for final comments, I am in support of this measure. I know that it's very difficult on individual property owners. As local governments try to have development encroach on people who have been longtime residents of communities, it is extremely difficult to provide adequate safety access and payment for that access in a roadway system that does not allow some judicious consideration by local authorities. And I know that it is extremely painful for a property owner that does not want to be annexed in. This bill does give due process for that annexation and that inability to vote. They can take their grievance to a local governing body to make that, but sometimes and in some instances there is an overarching need for a community to make modifications to service areas. And I would just say this is growth versus maintaining issues as they have been in the past. And it's very difficult for each local body to consider, but allowing that flexibility will provide some relief for the property taxpayers who are being unfairly penalized by having to pay in service areas, and on the converse, making those pay that are accessing roads that they currently don't pay for.
Thank you. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the committee, or maybe if Ms. Beecher wants to comment on it, I have contacted the folks from the Matsu Borough on this issue to see what their thoughts on it were. They did have a question about number four on page two. The reason that they felt they had some concerns is that although they maybe don't use those roads to get to their residence, they do use those roads to go to travel through their community. To if they're a plumber to work on somebody's house or whatever the case may be, they do use those. Also in my area, which is quite large with a lot of rural areas in it, people use roads that they go through, park their airplane at, park their boat at. They drive through there, park their car, get in their plane or their boat, and go to their home. I think the catch-all in all that is the fact that they have to go to the local community council to get opted out. So I think that there's, both sides have been thought about very carefully on this. I know Anchorage and Fairbanks worked on this. I just wanted to bring that up to the concerns because I feel obligated since I did contact my community, which I think was appropriate, and expressed the concerns of that community about this bill. If there's any discussion on that, I'd be glad to talk further on it, but that was this is the second time I've seen this bill along with Representative Fairclough. So we've had a lot of discussion on this particular area. It's passed out unopposed at this time or unamended. And I think there's probably a reason for that, but I just want the Matsu Borough to know that I did bring their issues up. It was up for discussion. I have talked to Representative Fairclough. I have talked to the sponsor of the bill extensively on this to get their opinions and what they felt, the opinion to their communities and oppositions to any changes to the bill as it stands. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other committee discussion? Entertain a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Bill 85, CNRA, version 25, LS0687/M, with any attached fiscal notes or amendments from committee.
No objection. So ordered. Take a quick at ease as we fill out the committee report. HJR number 18, can we adopt version C as a work draft before we begin?
Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Joint Resolution 18, Transportation version 25, LS0830/C for committee discussion.
Thank you. We have version C in front of us. Sonia is going to testify on behalf of the sponsor.
For the record, my name is Sonia Christensen. I'm staff to Representative Johansson. HJR 18 is a resolution opposing the enactment of the provisions in the FAA's Next Generation Transportation System Financing Reform Act of 2007 that imposes air traffic control user fees and increases aviation fuel and aviation gas taxes. There are also a few different witnesses in the audience and online to answer more specific questions about the federal legislation if needed. As you all know, because of Alaska's unique geography and limited road access, Alaska depends heavily on aviation for transportation, medical needs, mail distribution, recreation, and supplies and goods. With the aviation fuel and aviation gas tax increase, FAA's legislation, known also called Next Gen, will make flying much more expensive for Alaskans and increase the price of shipping goods and supplies. With the FAA legislation, air traffic control user fees will decrease the congressional role in determining FAA spending. This gives more power to the FAA to make decisions for all airports, not taking into consideration Alaska's special needs and favoring the needs of larger airline hubs. That's all.
Thank you, Sonia. Any questions for Sonia? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Chair. I certainly wouldn't want Sonia to feel left out here. I think, is this her first bill?
This is Sonia's first piece of legislation. So
yeah.
Be nice, just, Mark.
I just that wonderful color looks just like her hair. Looks good. Sonia, Ms. Christensen, have we talked to our federal delegation on this? Is this a letter to them, or if you had prior contact with them to see about what they feel on this?
I have not had direct contact with the congressional delegation, but I have read in comments that they have yet to comment on this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Christensen, do you know the economic impact that this may have on Alaska? Is there any numbers on that at all? Because of, you know, and I'm looking at, and if we could maybe, I don't know how we can work on this, maybe contact people from our DCCED on this, or transportation. There's a tremendous amount of small airplanes that mm-hmm. this would affect, but also Ted Stevens International, being the third largest transportation hub in the world, has a lot of transportation needs, and I think that that would have a tremendous impact on Alaska's economy if this was enacted in here as far as transportation corridors to Anchorage. Now, I'm kind of curious is maybe if you might be able to research that.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that's, well.
Thank you, and just for the edification of the committee, we're just putting this out here today to introduce it, put it on the table. I know there's a lot of questions about it. And the air carriers also have some questions, so we're just going to put it out there and encourage you to contact our office for that information in the meantime before we bring it back up. Any other questions for Ms. Christensen? Thank you, Sonia. Signed up off net, we have Wilfred Ryan in Anchorage. Can you identify yourself and your affiliation for the record?
Yes, good afternoon. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Wilfred Ryan. I am the president of Alaska Air Carriers Association and also president of Arctic Transportation Services, an all-cargo carrier providing service to 70 communities in northwest Alaska. The Alaska Air Carriers Association represents a diverse membership group ranging from single pilot operators to FAR Part 125 or 121 regional and national carriers. We object to the concept of the administrator's FAA reauthorization proposal of the Next Generation Air Transportation Reform Act of 2007, especially to expanded user fees. The industry already pays fuel taxes, passenger ticket taxes, and freight taxes. An expanded part of the proposal, not addressed in the House resolution, eliminates the current passenger ticket and freight tax and implements a fee associated with the use of the federal airway system and communications network. In addition, a part of the proposal removes congressional oversight over the FAA, and we object to any change that grants the FAA independence from Congress. We want to amend the resolution to reflect the position of the Alaska Air Carriers Association consistent with the opinions of our membership. To do this requires more time. We recommend that the resolution remain in committee in draft form until the AACA fully develops suggested amendments to the resolution that appropriately addresses all issues. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Questions from the committee? Representative Faircloth?
Mr. Ryan, I'm not sure what maybe the sponsor could more adequately answer the question, but if this is moving before Congress right now, is there a deadline for us to respond? I'm concerned about holding a bill that only answers part of the question, part of the objection, versus not being able to comment at all.
I have with me also Jerry Rock, past president of the association, but we're under the assumption that we had through the end of this month and perhaps into May to draft up some of our positions on this document.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Ryan, we're supposed to be out of session mid-May, and if it gets caught in committee, we will not be able to comment on this issue. I believe it could go to the floor from here for further discussion, and the chair has said that he's holding today for benefit of others to comment, but I would just express a concern as someone who believes in some of the issues that are specifically raised, that Alaska ranks sixth in the total number of airports in the United States with 583 airports, and that a triple or a quadruple increase in the fuel tax is going to be harmful to our state disproportionately to other states. And while you have objections, I hope that you could get them to us if we want them incorporated into the bill no later than a week or two away. Otherwise, we're going to forego an opportunity to be able to comment to Congress as a legislative body. So I just throw that out for your concern in taking up the issue, is if there's nothing objectionable and that you want to add further objections, that we could amend that as we go through the process. But I guess my question to you, is there anything in here that you disagree with right now?
I think I need to answer that in two facets. The first question you asked was, when was Congress willing to move forward on this? We believe it's May 10th. But by the same token, end of May, by the same token, I agree with you that this needs to move quickly through the House. We're looking for a minimum of a week to address our concerns, to make suggested amendments to the resolution. But I think you need to understand that while the user fee impacts the single pilot and small 135 operators, it benefits the large 121 regional national carriers. So in concept, we object to the user fees, but by the same token, I think if we were to add a couple amendments to this resolution, we'd be very comfortable moving it forward.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Thank you for that additional feedback. I certainly am not in opposition to waiting a week, but any longer than that feels like it would preclude us an opportunity to speak to the issue. And I am supportive of being in opposition to the increase on the user fee, but was wondering, as a last follow-up, could you expand on your first reason why you didn't want us to go forward?
Yes, I can address that concern. The initial house draft that we looked at only addressed the fuel tax user fees. And while we are in concept opposed to the use the taxation on and the increase on fuel tax fees, we need to be careful that our entire membership benefits. So we were attempting to find a balance between those taxes, the new taxes imposed on single pilot operators and small on-demand charter organizations, such as the ones that exist in Juneau and Ketchikan. And we'd also like to take in consideration the benefit that the reduced fuel taxation creates for some of our larger mainline operators who transport passengers over long stage lengths. They have a tremendous amount to gain from the implementation of user tax fees. The portion that we'd like to add into the House resolution is to address the fees associated with the use of the air traffic control system, because we are not in agreement to that, and we are in strict opposition to the elimination of congressional oversight over the FAA. So I think we can have our amendments to you within a week. And I feel quite comfortable that it would outline the issues that this next-gen Reform Act brings forward.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. If you could email me, I just would like a further explanation of how the higher-level companies that you represent are going to benefit versus the smaller single pilots seeing the adverse reaction, and I don't need to take up any more committee time on that, but I don't really understand how they benefit from a quadruple fuel tax increase.
Okay, I could address it real quickly. Passengers pay a 7.5% excise tax on every ticket that they purchase.
Mm-hmm.
The regional and national carriers operates over long-haul routes with high-cost tickets. So the tax, say, for example, at 7.5% on a $1,000 a round-trip ticket that's $75 in excise tax. The proposed fuel tax reduction for those carriers benefits the large carriers tremendously. Currently, small operators and 135 on-demand tour operators do not pay any tax associated with the carriage of passengers, so they will see a quadruple increase. So we are attempting to find a balance between the two that addresses both concerns. I don't know if we'll be successful in doing it, but as an air carrier group, we need to take into consideration both spectrums.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ryan, you said 135 and 121 carriers. What does that mean?
135 carriers operates with airplanes with less than 10 passenger seats. 121 carriers operates with more than 10 passenger seats. And their FAR 135 are federal aviation regulations pertaining to the carriage of 10 passengers or less. FAR 121 are federal regulations pertaining to the carriage of large aircraft more than 10 passengers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Ryan? Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Online, off net, Andy Sebula, is that correct?
Yes.
Can you state your name and affiliation for the
record? Sure. It's Andy Sebula, and I'm Executive Vice President for Government Affairs for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. We represent more than 411,000 pilots, 100,000 pilots across the country, and we've got over 4,200 pilots in the state of Alaska that are members. So obviously this legislation is something that's very important to us nationally, and I'm very pleased that you would take time out of the work in addressing issues that affect the state to take up something that we think is so important to the people in Alaska and also to citizens across the country. Just real quickly, a couple of things that are very important that I want to bring up that this bill does that affects aviation that are not good for the state. One is it's a huge tax hike. The imposition of user fees that you've raised, the loss of congressional control and the oversight of the aviation system, and then there are also cuts in the federal investment in airports. And I just want to give a couple of these some context on the tax increase. As Sonia mentioned, the increase would be at first 50 cents a gallon. That's the initial increase, and then it could be increased after that. I just want to give you some statistics that on average over the last 2 years the price of aviation gasoline has increased by 68 cents a gallon, so then this tax would add another 50 cents on top of that. We are already seeing across the country a drop in aviation fuel sales as the price increases. As a matter of fact, last year the sale of aviation gasoline reached a five-year low, so we're obviously very concerned about that. And really, more importantly, 88% of our members have told us that they're going to reduce their flying if this tax goes into effect. As far as the user fees, there are many concerns related to that. Right now, it's a not very well-defined proposal, but initially what the FAA is wanting to do is to target large and small commercial operators with fees on their use of the air traffic control system. In some areas, general aviation would be affected. That's primarily around large cities. There is no city at this point that would be affected for general aviation flights in Alaska, but many areas that would be affected by that are commercial operators. But like what we've seen in other countries, once a federal bureaucracy has the authority to impose user fees, they're only going to expand that authority. They're not going to restrict it. So we fully expect that both the fees that are being charged are going to increase, as well as the scope of what they'll be charging fees for. And, of course, one of the big things that the FAA wants is they want to get out from under the control, the scrutiny, the oversight of the U.S. Congress. The spending decisions, obviously, we could favor large cities. And the legislation gives the FAA the ability to unilaterally raise fees and the only appeal is to the Department of Transportation. So there's really very little oversight. And I guess I would just say to people in the state of Alaska that, you know, it's certainly not in the best interest for aviation and the community there to have bureaucrats in Washington making decisions without the oversight that, frankly, your delegation has done a fantastic job of doing in ensuring your needs are met. On the airport spending side, a couple of things I wanted to share with you. First of all, they want to cut the overall investment in airports by $1 billion. That would eliminate some of the entitlements for the smallest airports in Alaska. And then it would also reduce the entitlements, the rate of the entitlements for other general aviation airports in the state. We and others have agreed with us that the FAA doesn't need to do this. We definitely need to modernize our air traffic control system, but the U.S. Congress's own General Accountability Office, the Department of Transportation, Inspector General, they've all said that the existing tax mechanism can be used to finance modernization, to finance airports, and to finance the operation of the FAA. So we believe that the passage of the resolution, and I think your committee substitute addresses a lot of the issues that were raised by the air carriers, we believe that that resolution is important. And it's important because in Alaska, the FAA's bill would increase the cost for transportation, and it would lessen the attention that the air transportation needs right now for Alaska receives. So we ask that the legislature join general aviation organizations like AOPA, the Alaska Airmen's, local communities across the country that have formed an alliance for aviation across America, the National Association of Counties, the Regional Airline Association, to oppose the FAA bill. And I just wanted to also share with you a sentence from a letter that Representative Young sent to one of our members in the state. It was dated April 3rd, and he said very clearly in the letter, "I do not endorse the proposed plan which was submitted to Congress." So I ask for the committee's action on this resolution.
Thank you, Andy. Any questions, Representative Newman?
Thank you. Andy, did you say that this would cut up to $1 billion for airport improvements?
Yes, it would. The FAA's proposal takes the existing, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3.5 billion. It's always, you know, varies on the exact numbers. It would cut it down to about $2.5, $2.7 billion.
And Andy, how do you think that would affect small rural airports as opposed to big airports?
Well, obviously, it's going to make those airports be in competition for a much smaller pot of money. So it's going to be more difficult for them to get the financing they need. Now, I do want to tell you that airports in Alaska are treated differently than airports in the lower 48. So its effect in Alaska, while it's important, it's not as significant due to, quite frankly, the work of your delegation through the years in making sure that there's proper oversight on the unique needs of your state.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for Andy? Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. D. Hansen, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Please identify yourself and your affiliation.
Yes, my name is D. Hansen. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Airmen's Association.
Can you with your
Some background on me. I am a third-generation Alaskan and fly a 1955 Super Cub that was once owned by my grandfather. This resolution is important to general aviation and to Alaskans. The Alaska Airmen's Association's mission is to promote general aviation in Alaska. We have over 2,200 members across the state. The Airmen's Association is opposed to the FAA Refinancing Act, and is particularly concerned about the impact of the proposed increase in gas tax in Alaska for general aviation aircraft. As you know, a very large percentage of our state is accessible only by aircraft. In Alaska, the airplane is not a luxury item, it is a tool. Alaskans use their airplanes as if it were a vehicle or a pickup truck to haul groceries, building supplies, fuel, and family, not to mention weekly visits to our remote postal distribution centers. Alaskans use airplanes to travel to neighboring communities to watch rival athletic events. We rely on our airplanes for recreation and hunting, as well as business applications such as guiding, flight seeing, game surveys, and very importantly, search and rescue. The price of fuel today is already a concern. At Lakewood Seaplane Base, the largest seaplane base in the world and the location of our headquartered office here in Anchorage, fuel costs currently are $4.67 a gallon, up from $2.95 2 years ago. For those of our members that rely on their airplane to commute to and from work, this would be a financial hardship. We have members that live remotely, flying their private general aviation aircraft to Anchorage from Big Lake and Talkeetna. Those of us living in remote villages who depend solely on aircraft will have no choice at all. Our urban members are certainly looking at whether to fly or not. With this increased fuel cost, you can be assured that people will be flying their aircraft less, canceling the perceived advantage of increased revenue from this fuel tax. The other side of this is that people who are flying less are less proficient in their piloting skills. Therefore, this now becomes a very important safety issue. There will also be an impact on businesses that support aviation, such as maintenance facilities, avionics shops, parts suppliers, and small aviation parts manufacturers. Many of these businesses are Alaskan-owned and operated. They are not large stateside corporations. In conclusion, the Alaska Airmen's Association does not support the FAA Transportation Financing Reform Act that increases aviation fuel and gas taxes. Adding 70 cents a gallon to the backs of general aviation pilots with already historically high fuel prices is moving in the wrong direction. It is our understanding that the current tax structure will adequately support the FAA, and we want to stay with this system, which has been proven to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Newman?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hansen, you mentioned air rescue. Do you think this would, what impact would this have on the Civil Air Patrol and air rescue programs? Or would it impact?
Any increase in fuel will actually have an effect. It'll be more costly for them to operate. As far as search and rescue, the CAP is a part of a big moving picture. There are a lot of individual pilots that participate in search and rescue. I believe that just this last summer, the Beaver that went down in Mystic Pass was actually spotted not by a CAP airplane, but by an individual that chose to go out there and help with the search and rescue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Tom George?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tom George. I'm the Alaska representative of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. And you've already heard a bunch of facets of this bill. I'll try and touch on a couple others or give some examples. And, of course, we already know how important aviation is to the state. We've got something over 200 communities that have no road access that rely on aviation as their main year-round link to the rest of the world. The user fees is a fascinating and, as you've seen already, a complex challenge, and it affects different segments of the aviation communities in different ways. One thing that the FAA is looking at in this bill is essentially access to airspace. The plan charges air taxi operators to land and take off at airports with control towers that exceed certain capacities. And in Alaska, that would be Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, and Bethel. So there'd actually be a charge for the services provided going in and out of those airports. But we think this is, again, merely the camel's nose under the tent, because we've seen in other countries where these fees have expanded as more services have been included, such as weather briefings, touch-and-goes, flight plans, et cetera. And, of course, they're calculated on the historical traffic, but if the fuel prices and taxes go higher, the flying is reduced, then those user fee rates will increase to cover the FAA's cost. In aviation, we call that a descending spiral or a graveyard spiral. The other aspect, and Dee's touched on it a little bit, is aviation safety. We already have an accident rate that's higher than the rest of the country. And there's been a lot of work, both with the Alaska aviation community and the FAA Capstone program, that's made significant gains over the past 5 years with some pioneering work they've done in Southwest Alaska. However, if pilots start avoiding services such as access to weather, instrument approaches, towered airports, because of costs associated, we could actually, associated with those changes, we could actually see a decline in aviation safety, which, of course, is the very thing we're trying to turn around and go the other way with. We've talked about the control of the FAA. Part of this plan is to establish an Air Transportation System Advisory Board, which should have the approval over the user fee system, and as has been mentioned already, removing Congress more and more from the oversight of this. And, of course, in Alaska, and the air carriers can probably actually add to this more than I can, the impacts of various FAA mandates have really hit Alaska hard over the years, and without our congressional delegation's ability to get the attention of the FAA for us to get fair and equitable treatment, it would be very difficult to continue to do business. So any move away from that we think is very bad for Alaska for all segments of the industry. Finally, on the fuel costs, I can add my own kind of personal data point. I have a small business that acquires vertical aerial photography around the state. And last week, while working on my taxes, I learned that I'd spent over $8,000 on avgas in the last year, an average price of $4.88 a gallon. And that ranged from a low price in Fairbanks, which is where I'm based, at $3.40 a gallon, to a high of $7 a gallon in Galena. Well, already that inexpensive $3.40 gas in Fairbanks is up to $4.26 a gallon today. So we've already seen that increase, and it's going to certainly be going up proportionally in those other areas. So adding a 50-cent fuel tax to that cost is really, again, taking us in the wrong direction. So we definitely appreciate your efforts on this and would be happy to help it move forward any way we can. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I don't see anybody else in the audience to testify. As I said, we're going to hold on to this bill and hopefully come back with something that addresses some of the concerns we heard today. And with that, we'll adjourn for the day.